I am in Las Vegas. Doug is in studio. Mr. Christie, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. What's up, Grant?
I'll tell you what's up. The Chicago Cubs, they're up. The Giants are down. And listen, we've been talking about this all summer, and you just can't take something that is a glaring weakness, and just because it's the postseason, you know, make believe it's not a major weakness. This is the reason why the Giants did not win the division. This is one of the main reasons why the Giants went from the best team in baseball before the break to the worst team in baseball after the break. It's because of their bullpen, and it did not get fixed in the postseason, Doug. It was a huge liability. It was a huge weakness, and boy, did it show itself in this series against the Cubs.
Yes, it did, and if you hear me smacking, Grant, that's that little bit of crow that I'm eating, because I thought that the Giants were gonna pull it out. And man, I will tell you, closing, I'm thinking when Romo goes in there, I was going, oh boy, this is looking ugly, because it wasn't just like a pop home run, three-run shot. It was a slow death. I mean, single. They get on, and they couldn't do it. And yeah, it is a glaring weakness that they are going to have to take care of, is the bullpen.
There's no doubt about it. And I thought it was very interesting that Santiago Casilla, who has been very good for the Giants in the past playoffs, but he was so bad this summer, so much so that he lost his closer job in the middle of September. And he was devastated after the game and actually called out the Giants. He said, quote, "I've never had that moment before during 5 years here. I had a little struggle, but everybody in the bullpen has had their bad moments. I think they forgot all of the great moments that I've had here. I've pitched a lot in the playoffs and done my job. I know I am a good pitcher. I'm a pitcher. I'm part of the bullpen. I know I've had some bad moments in September and during the season, but I have good numbers in the playoffs, and I know I can pitch in that situation. I know I can pitch in the big leagues." Here's the bottom line for Casilla, okay? It's what have you done for me lately. It's not what you did for me 2 years ago or 4 years ago. It's what have you done for me lately. And the reality is Bruce Bochy had lost all confidence in the 36-year-old right-hander. There's no way he was going to put him in the game last night.
Well, you know, Bochy, I thought he's masterful. You know that he just does things with teams that just mere mortals don't do. But in that position, I agree with you, Grant. This isn't something where I'm looking back and I'm saying, you know what, you've been great for us a lot of times, and I'm going to trust you. You got to rely on what your eyes are telling you, and they've been telling Boch that it just hasn't been working. So he is trying to mix and match. And against a team that, you said it, Grant, you said this is the best team in baseball, and it's not a team that you can play around with.
No.
He did his best, and it just didn't work out.
Giants fans are not going to want to hear this, but here's the bottom line. The Cubs are a better team, period. They were a better team during the year. They're a better team in the playoffs. They are a better team, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't care what happened 2 years ago. I don't care what happened 4 years ago. I don't care what happened 6 years ago. It's great. And you know what? A lot of Giants fans, you'll be able to take that to your grave, even if they never win again, and say, you know what? I was alive and cherished the three phenomenal runs to championships, and no one will ever take that away from you. But you got to deal with reality. The reality is the Giants were the underdog in this series. The reality is the Cubs were a better team, and the better team won this series. There's no arguing that.
Agreed, Grant. And when you look at it, it was really you could see the light in Aroldis Chapman's eyes when he knew, you know, last time they put him in for six outs, and when he knew he had to get three, he looked like a superhero, man.
Oh,
he was ready to go.
Yeah, you couldn't touch it. And it's a big difference. Any relief pitcher will tell you it's a big difference when you start an inning when no one's on. The evening before, he came in a very difficult situation when you got two men on. And you know. But hey, here's the deal, all right? The Giants, they've had a phenomenal, phenomenal run. It doesn't mean that it's over. They just have to retool a little bit. But the Cubs, remember what you and I were talking about on Monday? I said the Cubs just have that look. They just, and then you mentioned to me, and I didn't even see this, you know, the home run by Bryant was caught by the only Cubs fan sitting in left field. And you said to me, Grant, you're right, man. I was watching that game, and I was thinking, boy, Grant's right. It's just everything is falling their way.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I went and I watched the replay. It did happen, Grant. Did you
Unbelievable.
See? He's the only guy in the Cubs hat sitting in the outfield. The ball goes right to him, and right then I just sat up. And I just went, that Grant Napier, he is spot on,
hey,
man.
Oh, here's the other issue with this series. When Connor Gillespie is your best player, then you know that your team did not play well enough to win. Because, and listen, I know what Connor Gillespie did against the Mets. I know he had a big series in this series against the Cubs. But the point I'm trying to make is he's not an everyday player. He's only playing because Eduardo Nunez is hurt. So when a guy that doesn't even play ends up being your best player in the series, that's another reason why the Giants lost. They didn't get enough help from enough players, and that's why their season is over, period. And I don't know what happens in the offseason, but I think it's pretty safe to say, Doug, that they will have a different closer next season than they had this season.
Yes, you got to address the bullpen. I think you got to get a closer, and you got to get a big bat, because that's one area that, you know, they just weren't able to pound that ball. They manufactured runs when they were, really stretching out at bats and making pitchers work, but they just couldn't do it consistently enough, especially, like you said, against a really, really good team, the best team in baseball. You're going to have more bats than the Giants were able to show.
All right, let me share with you my ride over here to this radio station, CBS Radio in Las Vegas.
But
you got to listen to this. All right, so I Ubered over here, okay, and I'm standing in front of the hotel waiting for the car to show up, and I was on the phone, and so I wasn't really paying attention. So the car pulls up, and it's a burgundy colored vehicle, okay, and I'm like, God, this is a strange looking car. All right, and so I get in. And I'm not even paying attention. The guy goes, hi, how are you? I go, fine, thank you. But I'm still on the phone. So I'm on the phone for like 3 minutes, and I start looking around this guy's car, okay? He has a Redskins shirt on, a Redskins hat. He has a Redskin logo hanging down from the rearview mirror, and his dashboard is all decked out in Redskin stuff, okay? And so I then hang up the phone, and I go, we got a real problem here. He goes, he goes, what's that, sir? I go, I'm from New York, and I'm a Giants fan. And I said, and he started laughing. He goes, yeah, I bet you do have a problem. And I said, okay. And then I laughed at him. I said, but it could be worse. I could be in a vehicle decked out with all Cowboys stuff, and you would be pulling over to the side of the road, and I sure as hell would be getting out, and I would be walking to the radio station. This entire car, okay, I kid you not, and the guy was decked out in entire Washington Redskins paraphernalia. It was unbelievable.
Hey, the things that only happened to Grant yep. Napier. The
it was a, you know
that.
What? It was a PT Cruiser. You know, so now you get the, it was a burgundy PT Cruiser, and it pulled up, and I'm like, man, okay. And but when I was concentrating on the phone, I wasn't really paying attention to what I was looking at in the car. And then as soon as I was like, okay, we got a real problem here. So anyway, I made it. Speaking of football, so I've got the monitor on in front of me here, and the Las Vegas News came on right at the top of the hour at 3, and you know what their lead story is? It's the Raiders moving to Las Vegas, and they've got the renderings of the football stadium that they want to build here. That's their lead story. And as the reason why I bring that up, Doug, is because, you know, today the Oakland mayor and officials are talking about how they still believe that they can put a plan together to keep the Raiders. But make no mistake about it, the clock is ticking, and it's not ticking in the favor of Oakland right now.
No, it is not, because they passed a bill today, and I think it was 16-4 or 16-5, and they only needed like 12 votes. So things are moving in the right direction for the people in Las Vegas. And unfortunately, I mean, this is something that Sacramento Kings fans in the city of Sacramento knows, because we almost lost our team. So, you can really empathize with it. But yeah, you're right. It is heading that way, and it looks to be moving quite quickly.
Unbelievable. So Grant Napier and Doug Christie with you. If you want to call the show, very easy to do so. 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We certainly have a lot of things going on. The Giants season is over. If you want to reflect on that, by all means, do so. Because Giants fans are not used to saying goodbye in elimination games, because they have been so spoiled, and spoiled in a good way. I don't mean to be speaking in a negative tone. It's a good spoil, but that's the reality. So we've got that and something else that is happening tonight. And it is going to be at the Shark Tank. The defending Western Conference champion San Jose Sharks take the ice against the LA Kings. It is the start of hockey season. How about that?
I don't know, Grant.
Hockey. I know. You're not a hockey guy. I know.
No, I am, but I don't go enough. I do enjoy it, though, because I'm telling you, first time that I went to a game as an adult, because I used to go as a kid, the Seattle Totems. My grandfather used to take me to games there. First time I went, I was absolutely hooked. It is fast and furious. I love it.
All right, coming up on the show today, we're going to talk with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. He is going to be joining us at 4 o'clock. We got the Nation with Lincoln Kennedy at 5. The Raiders at 4-1. They will take on the Kansas City Chiefs coming off a bye. I'll tell you, this is going to be a fun game at the Coliseum because the Raiders, it's not like, well, we think they're going to be good. They are good, all right? We now know that they're good. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean they're going to win the division. But this team's for real. They keep on finding ways to win, Doug, and now you have another big divisional game coming up against the Kansas City Chiefs. This is going to be another dandy.
Yeah, it is, and it's going to be interesting to see how they come out because, you know, being at home, you know, they haven't fared too well. They've lost one and won one, but on the road they've been fantastic. So for them, I think this is a pivotal game because now, you know, you've gone through, people have seen you, you've beat some people, they know how you're coming on defense, they know where you're leaking at. So if they win this game, I mean, they are already in the mix. If they win this game, I think they really start to solidify themselves.
Absolutely, because not only that, they would also put themselves three games ahead of the Chiefs. So if the Raiders win, they go to 5-1, and Kansas City would fall to 2-3. So think about that. I mean, the Chiefs would fall to 2-3, and, you know, they would be, I shouldn't say, you know, they would be two games back in a loss column, but that's significant. You still have to, three of the final four games this year, Doug, are on the road for the Raiders, and I know that they've won three of four to start the season on the road, but, you know, these are the games at home you want to win, so we'll see what happens. The Raiders, off to a great start. They've won three in a row. They're 4-1. Everything's looking good. And again, Doug and I will be chatting with Lincoln Kennedy. It's the Nation coming up at 5 o'clock. And as always, we welcome your phone calls during that segment at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. So jot that down for the 5 o'clock hour. Off day in baseball. And how about the Toronto-Cleveland series? That's going to be getting underway on Friday. We've got the Game 5 tomorrow with the Dodgers and the Nats, Doug. I'm not sure which way to go here. I'm not a big believer in home field in the baseball playoffs. It's all about pitching. But if you're the Nationals, you got Scherzer on the hill, you got to feel confident here in this Game 5.
You do, but it's something about the Dodgers, man. I don't know. You know, they fell short for a while. You know, they had that Yasiel Puig thing going on. I just have a feeling they might go on the road and get this one, man. I mean, Scherzer on the mound, I agree with you. They are at home. They should be able to pull this out. But home field doesn't feel the same way as home court advantage and different things in baseball. You have solidified it in my head, Grant. Pitching is absolutely big time. So this is going to be an interesting one.
Yep. Well, and you got Rich Hill on the mound. Now, he's not pitched great coming down the stretch, but certainly he is more than capable of throwing an absolute gem. So, you know, let's see what happens here with Rich Hill, the Dodgers. Again, the last outing, Rich Hill went four innings, gave up four earned. This is, you know, one bad bounce, Doug, you know, off the heel of someone's glove. You know, just a check swing where, you know, you check your swing and the ball ends up in short right field, or, you know, a hit and run that's executed perfectly, a squeeze, a bunt. You know, it's everything is so magnified when you get to an elimination game. We saw it last night, right? What happened? And by the way, you know, getting back to last night, I said we thought the Giants would be playing in a Game 5, but in this Game 4, a lot of people are second-guessing Bruce Bochy, you know, for not leaving Matt Moore on there. I personally have a very difficult time second-guessing a guy that is regarded as one of the best, if not the best, managers in baseball and has had won three world championships over his span. I'm not saying you can't second-guess him. That's what we do on Sports Talk Radio. Right. That's what fans do. I have a problem second-guessing Boch. I know everyone said you should have left Matt Moore in, He obviously saw something that did not give him confidence because, listen, Bruce Bochy knows that his bullpen stinks. Bruce Bochy couldn't have any confidence in his bullpen. I mean, if he thought Moore could go out and throw the ninth and be effective, I gotta believe he would have done it.
You know, but I'm one of the people that said that he should have left him in there. And the reason I say that is because the last time, it was a couple games ago when they were playing, and the same thing happened with Bumgarner. And they should have left him in. I thought they took him out, and the bullpen blew it. When you're in that position, it's like when you got a hot hand. You got to go with the hot hand until it gets cold. Don't anticipate that it's cold, in my opinion. I mean, I know Boch knows way more. He forgot more about baseball than I know. But when I'm watching that, I'm just thinking, oh, my God. don't take him out. Let him go, see what happens. And that's just – that was my take on it. I wouldn't have took more out of the game, Grant. I just would.
Well, you know, I got to say this. He did retire the final nine guys that he faced, all right? So, I mean, it's not like he was struggling. He had retired nine in a row. And I believe to end the eighth inning, he struck out Dexter Fowler looking.
Yep.
Okay? That was his 10th strikeout. And his pitch count was up. There's no doubt about it. All right, he had thrown 120, but I know in August he went as high as 133 when he was, you know, trying to get a no hitter. So it's not like he could not have gone out. I mean, 120 pitches. Again, this is a guy that has thrown this season 133, and I think I read where it was the only game in which he had thrown more than 120 pitches in his career, mm-hmm. was that one game where he had 133. So, you know what, Doug, I think managers sometimes get too caught up in analytics in these type of situations.
That is, I totally agree with you. It's like he reaches a number and you're just going to cut it off. Because when you think about it, Grant, if he retires at the end of the eighth, and 13 more pitches is what we're looking at for him to reach his all-time total. So that's either one or two batters. There, give him the chance. Now, that does go to your point of bringing in a pitcher in the middle of an inning and all of those things. But I just think that you got to give him that chance. Let 133 be the number. How about that? Let that
be
the number.
Well, he was quoted after the game as saying when he came off the mound, all right, after striking out Fowler, he said, quote, "I just went and talked to Rags, Dave Righetti, the pitching coach," and he said, quote, "That's it for tonight."
So, hold on. Rags said that? Or
yeah, well,
Moore
obviously,
said that.
No, Dave Righetti said that to Moore. He said, "That's it for tonight." All right, that's what happens. Your pitcher, when they comes off, they always pitch. They always talk to the pitching coach. They don't normally go up and speak to the manager. Sometimes they do, but in this case, Dave Righetti is the one that's always speaking. And he said, "That's it for tonight." Now, that's not Dave Righetti's call. That's Bruce Bochy's call. But obviously, Bochy and Righetti had the conversation. And when he walked off the mound, Rags said, "Hey, that's it. You're done for tonight."
So you don't think that they have a wouldn't you ask your player? Like,
I would.
How are you feeling? I mean, do you got any
juice left?
Yeah,
but let me ask you this. Do you know of any player
that you've ever
played with or any other thing in that situation would say, yeah, you know what, I don't think I have it?
Great point, Grant. You are spot on because I'm like, yeah, I got it. I'm going to give you, even if I don't got it, I'm going to tell you I got it.
Even if I have to throw underhand, I'm going to get three more outs for it. He said, quote, after that, he said, quote, "I think as an athlete, you always feel you have more to offer, but I'm not going to go there." So he's being a trooper.
Yeah.
But listen, you know what I know. If Bruce Bochy and Dave Righetti had gone up to Moore and said, "Hey, can you get me three more outs?" He would have said, "Absolutely,
yes.
I'm going to get you three more outs." Now, here's the other thing you could have done. All right, you could have sent him out there in the ninth, and if the first guy gets on, then you go to your bullpen.
That
to me could have made more sense. Agree?
Yes, I totally do that because in my opinion, Grant, that 120 to 133, there's 13 pitches. That's probably that first guy if he's not pitching well. He foul a couple off. I mean, there it is. That's my take.
All right. If you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And again, game five tomorrow in Washington, Dusty and the Nats against Dave Roberts. And the Dodgers, it's Rich Hill. For the Dodgers, it's Max Scherzer. Tomorrow we got Kings basketball as they'll be taking on the L.A. Lakers, 7 o'clock with the pregame, 7:30 with all the action, and then Sacramento moves on to take on Washington. And a couple of things I'm looking at here, Doug, with the Kings. I'm hoping that Scott Brooks uses his starting backcourt in this game because I want to see Ty Lawson go up against some of the elite point guards, you know, like Wall, and then on Tuesday, like Chris Paul, all right, because we know that Darren Collison's going to miss the first eight, and for that reason, we're seeing a lot more Ty Lawson this preseason. But to me, I want to see how he fares against some of the upper echelon point guards in the league.
Not only, Grant, how he fares individually, but how does he fare inside of what Jaeger is trying to get across to the team? How can he run the team against your elite point guards, some of the bigger ones? You mentioned Wall. You know, Wall's a big guy. Can he do the things that Jaeger's going to need him to do? And I agree with you. You got to know how he's playing because against the team the other night, give it to me.
The Kings are from the Maccabi
Haifa. There you go. When you play against a team like that, it's easy for him. But now you're playing against, you know, true point guards. You got to see what is he going to bring that can contribute to the Kings going forward.
All right, Grant Napier with Doug Christie each and every day. If you're just tuning in for the first time, hey, we are glad that you are checking us out. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got a great show today. We're going to talk a lot of football coming up with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. He's going to be coming up at 4. We're also going to check in the final hour of the show with a sports columnist for the Las Vegas News Journal who's covering this story from this perspective from Las Vegas. Ed Graney, that's going to be coming up later, and we've got The Nation with Lincoln Kennedy in the 5 o'clock hour. So a lot going on, and you know it's a shame, and I say this because we went through it here in Sacramento. It's a shame that the Raiders and their fans who have supported this franchise now have a team that's on the upswing, and we have all these rumors about them moving to Vegas. Cannot be easy for loyal Raider fans who enjoy going to the Coliseum.
Yeah, you know, and also the Las Vegas Raiders just doesn't have the right ring to it for me. But, you know, I lived in Seattle. I'm from Seattle. So now you got Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, and they just yanked the team out. Similar. You know, you're on the upswing. You got some things happening. That is tougher than anything because you go through it with your team year in and year out, especially through the down years, and now you're on upswing and you leave. That sucks, man.
All right, before we get to our first break, why don't we get a phone call in, and why don't we start with Al? Al, you're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie. Go right ahead, Al.
Hey, Grant, how you doing? Welcome, D.C.
Thank you, sir.
I love the new format, love the new setup. Guys, I want to talk about a couple things. Number one, Grant, you said that Giants fans are going to be mad about how they lost because we're expected to win when we're in an even year or whatever. I'm not mad that they lost, but I'm infuriated with how they lost. And I think a lot of Giants fans feel the same way. The bullpen is terrible. But here's the thing. Early on in the year when the trade deadline was approaching, Santiago Casilla was shaky, but he wasn't the big problem with the Giants. The big problem was the setup guys and the late inning relief guys in the bullpen. And then, you know, having no fifth starter. So they go out and get Will Smith when they could have probably given up an extra prospect along with what they gave for that guy and gotten a Mark Melanson or another closer type. Shortly thereafter is when Casilla hit the crapper, and that's been the Giants' problem is that closer position, and that's quite honestly why they lost the game last night and aren't still in the series.
Yeah, maybe. First of all, I never said anything about, you know, the Giants fans, you know, and even years. I don't pay attention to that stuff. The point I was trying to make is this has been a problem for the Giants all year, and I think that sometimes when the playoffs start, you walk around with blinders on. I don't mean you specifically, but I mean you in general, speaking fans. Fans have a tendency to walk around with blinders on thinking, okay, well, now you're playing for them all the marbles. It's the playoffs. And those problems that we saw during the regular season, don't worry. It's the playoffs, and guys have done it before, and we've seen them do it before, so no problem. They'll do it again. It doesn't work like that.
No, Grant. I totally agree. But here's the thing. The reality of the situation is that the Cubs, like you said, are a much better team. The talent is much better. It's their year. So as a fan base, I don't believe that Giants fans are mad. I really think that there's just a little bit of a frustration and infuriation, whatever you want to call it, with the fact that our closer was never settled. It was always closer by committee.
Yep.
And it was timing. The Giants, honestly, are a much better team than they showed in the second half. And they're a team that, in the past, has not been supremely talented in the playoffs. They were not the better team in the entire National League or in the playoff picture any of the 3 years they won the World Series. We can rewind.
No, you're right. But they played, yeah. And listen, you're a great call, but I'm way overdue for a break, so I'm going to have to say goodbye. But I appreciate it very much. It's 3:27 time for the 2016 year-end clearance jacuzzi of Sacramento.com. We'll be right back. Grant Napier, Doug Christie on Sports 1140. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I hope Doug didn't just resign during the commercial break. That would be
real funny. Grant.
That would be well.
This is what happens when you leave me here in the studio all alone. You know, technical difficulties. I can't hear you. You're in Vegas. Who knows what's going on down there?
Well, hey, I'll tell you what's going on. I am sitting here in a beautiful studio, and you know what's crazy about this? This sports station down here, it's CBS Sports Radio 1140 Las Vegas. So everywhere looking, there's like Sports 1140 signs, and I'm like, wait a minute, I really am in Vegas. I'm not in Sacramento. But so you didn't know how to turn the mic on, and that when you're are you in the big boys chair, or are you back where you were the last few days?
Of course, I would never sit in your chair, Grant. Are you joking me?
No. It's not my chair. It's
that
just
is
where
your
I
chair.
Sit.
No, that is your
so
chair.
If I want to take it home and use it in my house,
I can do that. You want, man.
All right, can I use your truck to transport it?
You dang right, man. Anytime, baby. You just let me know.
I absolutely love it. All right, hey, Grant Napier with Doug Christie. It is the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie. And again, if you're just flipping around and you're tuning in, Doug is my new co-host, and we've got so many great things going on. We got the start of the NBA season. Doug, 2 weeks from tonight. Can you believe it? The Kings are going to be in Phoenix 2 weeks from tonight, and then the home opener coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow. How about that? We are with that countdown is on. I can't wait until the 27th, but the Kings have a very difficult schedule because they only have two games at home. They play on the San Antonio on the 27th, Minnesota on the 29th, and I think Minnesota, Doug, is one of these up-and-coming teams, and then they hit the road for five games.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough go, kind of similar to what we saw last year, and you don't want to come out of the gate and not really be, everything rolling. Unfortunately, Darren Collison's going to be out for the first eight games. So there is going to be a filling out period, but you want to get off to a good start if you can, because Western Conference is going to be absolutely tough. But I agree with you. When you look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, that is a team that is up and coming. And another one that might be flying under some people's radar is the Utah Jazz. I saw those guys play the other night, and
they look
a
good.
Deep bench. Yes, they look really good, Grant.
I thought they made a really good deal to get the point guard from Indiana in Hill. George Hill from IUPUI, because I always kid Jerry, because I go, Jerry, where did he go to school again? It's IUPUI. And I go, Jerry, what does that stand for? Indiana University, Purdue University in Indiana. I'm like, or whatever. I'm like, okay, all right. But Sir, I like him. I think he's a good player, Doug. I think he's going to really help out the Jazz.
Yes, because he has been through some great situations in San Antonio, with Pop. Then he was with Larry Bird in Indiana. He's a veteran guy. He can knock down shots. He's athletic, runs a team. He is an upgrade. Exum is coming back from the knee injury, so you don't really know what you're going to get out of him. And, yeah, I love what I see in him. And they've with Hayward and just the big fella Gobert in the middle. And, man, they are stacked, man. I'm telling you. In their bench, they're going three or four deep in their bench. And these are good quality players. So it's going to be a tough go in the Western Conference.
Doug, when you look at the West, you just hit it right on the head. It's going to be a tough go. Here are the teams that I think you can automatically cross off your list, all right? The Lakers are one. Would you agree with that?
Totally.
Okay. If you want to start, all right, and I think Denver you can cross off your list. I'm talking about playoff teams, all right? I'm talking about where so you got the Lakers, you've got Denver. Now, Memphis, to me, is still going to be very good. I think they're going to be a playoff team, Doug.
Yes.
They got too much talent.
Okay. I can buy that. Maybe
right.
Eight seed.
Yeah, that's okay, but they're a playoff team. San Antonio,
yes.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. Houston is going to be really good this year. Dallas, I don't have a good read on Dallas, Doug. What's your take? I mean, I can't discount them, but I can't. They're kind of on the fence to me.
I agree with you, and at some point, Dirk Nowitzki is going to fall off, man. I mean, the guy just keeps going. But they've been able to restock, and they've been able to retool and patch and piece things together. But I don't see them up there. Now, I'm going to have to see them play, but I don't see them up there in eight.
All right, Minnesota, I'm not saying they're a playoff team, but they're going to be, at least in my opinion, unless Karl Anthony Towns gets hurt, they're going to at least be alive after the All-Star break. I think that they, and again, I don't know how quickly Dunn is going to be able to pick up the point guard position. He looked good in Summer League, but that's Summer League. What my read on them is they have a lot of talent. I'm a big Tom Thibodeau coach. You know that they're going to start playing D. But Karl Anthony Towns, to me, has got special written all over him. And for that reason, I think that they're one of the up-and-coming teams in the West.
Yes, I agree with you. I think that they, if like you said, at the break, if they are still in the mix, they're going to do some things. And, man, Dunn is a stud, man. Oh. I love what I see from him. He reminds me of, you know, kind of Gary Payton type of swagger, has a nice build on him, and he just comes out and competes. So when I look at what they've built there, and Towns in the middle, and he can shoot outside. The
guy can do it all.
Yeah, he's supremely talented. So they have a chance, Grant, definitely.
All right, Oklahoma City playoff team. I still think they're going to be good. I don't think they're going to be great, but I think they're going to be good. Do you agree?
Yes, I do. Russell Westbrook, I mean, if you got Russell Westbrook on your team, you have a chance. I love what they did with Oladipo.
Me too. You know, he's you.
Yes.
He's you.
Yeah, there you go.
He's a young Doug Christie. He reminds me so much of you.
Yes, defensively, he's going to get after it. He's going to slash and get to the hole. And then also, he just feels whatever spot you need. The kid can
do everything. All right, so we agree on that. To me, I'm looking at Portland. They're a playoff team. The Clippers are a playoff team. The Warriors are obviously a playoff team. And so, you know, when we look at this Western Conference, and forgive me if I've left anybody out because I'm just doing this all off the top of my head, but other than Denver and the Lakers, Doug, all right, I can't rule any other team out. Like, I could see the Jazz, to me, are a playoff-caliber team. Minnesota could. I mean, there are only two teams right now that I can say, ah, and that's the Lakers and Nuggets.
One more. New Orleans Pelicans. I can rule them out. Anthony Davis just sprained his ankle again.
Yeah, you know what? That guy gets hurt getting out of the shower in the morning.
It's unfortunate because he is so talented. And you know what, Grant? Let me say this. When I watched him, the movie he was putting it on Nene and he tried to drive. He was a guard in high school, and I think he still plays kind of that way when he makes moves. And guards make a little bit of a, not a hard move, but a softer move, but he's running into a big guy, whereas he's going to have to get really good footwork and change his game up a little bit to play the way that he wants to play. But I kind of rule them out. I don't know what Hield's going to bring, but I don't see them as a playoff team either.
All right. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about something that happened at the Kings game the other night that I want to address. All right. That's going to be coming up next right here, the Grant and Napier Show with Doug Christie on Sports 1140 KHDK. So I get home, and obviously social media being the animal that it is, I was asked about the national anthem at the Kings game on Monday night, and I thought it was disgraceful, and I said I thought it was disgraceful, and I think that we've learned a lot. Maybe we should have learned this a long time ago, that when we have dialogue in this country, it's a good thing, because I think when you have dialogue on social issues, it can only help, because sometimes we have our heads stuck in the sand too far. And I think so. It's good that with Colin Kaepernick, and I blasted him because I didn't like the way he went about it. But I think the end result is we've been having a lot of dialogue, and I think that's real positive. You know, Monday was a special night. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and the Sacramento Kings devoted an entire evening to breast cancer awareness. And there were many breast cancer survivors that were invited to partake in the evening. And one of those happened to be the lady that was singing the national anthem. She, too, as Scott Moak, the public address announcer, announced to the crowd before she took the mic, I believe Scott said she's been a one-year breast cancer survivor. And so I thought, man, that's great. And I was in the stands, and I'm with my wife, and I'm just still taking in the new arena and everything, and I'm looking around, and then I look at the video screen in front of me, and I see the singer kneeling down at the end of the national anthem, and I turn to my wife at the end of them. I go, "Is that part of?" I go, "Did I miss something here?" And she goes, "You know what? I didn't really see the whole thing." I go, "Do you think she's protesting? Do you think that's what that is?" And anyway, so this became a big deal on social media, and I had someone ask me, and I'm not one to duck these things, okay, because I can't. This is what I do for a living. And so they said, you know, what did I think about it? And they said, what did you think about the Sacramento Kings singer? And I said, well, first of all, she's not the Sacramento Kings singer, okay? She doesn't work for the Kings. She has nothing to do with the Kings. She was there as, you know, the honor of singing the national anthem. That's number one. Number two, I thought it was disgraceful. I think it's an absolute shame that on Breast Cancer Awareness Night that she took the attention off what to me is a phenomenal night for a great cause, and no one was talking about that. And I think for that reason, it's wrong place, wrong time. You do not you know, have the privilege of singing the national anthem when you're asked to by an organization on Breast Cancer Awareness Night, when you too are a breast cancer survivor, and do that. I have a real problem with that. I think it's an absolute shame that that became the story of the evening, and not for the breast cancer survivors, and not for the other people that are going to be coming down with breast cancer, and all the money that was raised that night. That's the problem I have. I have no problem with people making, you know, speaking and doing whatever. You know what? We live in America. That's what we are founded on. That's what we live by. But that was the wrong place and the wrong time, and I was bothered by it.
You know, Grant, this is a tough one because you and I, we see a little different eye to eye on this one from time to time, because disgraceful, I'm not going to say that. I didn't even see her do it, actually. I'd heard the national anthem, then I'd start talking to my wife and clapping and what have you. So I really wasn't paying attention. But, you know, as an African-American in America, this is something, like you said, this dialogue that's taking place is absolutely fantastic, and it's something that needs to happen. It's unfortunate that it's come to this, but it's something that has to, we have to talk about, because otherwise, Grant, this isn't something that we would be talking about. Colin Kaepernick,
yeah, but guess what, though? But you know what? The dialogue has already begun. The dialogue is not going to end, and had she not done that, it wouldn't have affected the dialogue in any way, shape, or form. The dialogue is going on coast to coast now, okay? And had she just sung the national anthem on Breast Cancer Awareness Night, the dialogue would not have stopped. We are still going to have the dialogue, and for that reason, I have a problem with it. I just, the wrong place and the wrong time. Now you're going to, you know, that's the issue. If she wants to go out in her public time, or, you know, at the end of the anthem and make a statement, that's fine. Don't do it while you're singing the national anthem on Breast Cancer Awareness Night, because to me, you took away from what the night was about, and I think that is very, very selfish.
Well, the night was fantastic, and breast cancer awareness, I thought, you know, all the pink and everything, I didn't think that it took away, because I didn't even know it until afterwards when I left the arena. So I thought that part of it was fantastic. So I know this is a touchy situation and topic, and everyone has their places, but it's just tough, man. It is.
Hey, thank you for the call, thank you for calling the show. I want to get to the calls now. Let's get to Stuart. You're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Hey, guys. Hey, Grant. Great show. And, of course, I wanted to say you made an excellent choice at having a co-worker as in Doug Christie. I've watched Doug, and I've listened to him. I've been spying. I've really enjoyed his presence on the radio and on TV.
Thank you.
And, Grant, you made a excellent decision. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to take it off the air. I want to know, Grant, why did you choose Doug, and how did this all come to play?
Why did I? You know what? I'd have to have Doug answer that question instead of me, because I've never even asked Doug how he got interested in sports broadcasting. So you would have to answer that. I couldn't answer it for you.
You know, to be honest with you, Grant, besides that big check that I paid you, no, I'm just kidding.
I'm waiting.
You're waiting. I know it. It's rubber. So my wife, when I retired, Grant, my wife said she was going to do this blog talk radio thing. And she's like, let's do it. And I'm like, nah, I'm not so much. So during this, to make a long story short, during her thing on blog talk, we had this segment of sports, and I started doing it, and it was 30 minutes, and sometimes it would be longer, and I was able to start talking. And then when I did with you during the season, when I played here, we did our little thing for, you know, once a week and stuff. And I found that I kind of liked it. And then once I came around and did the TV stuff and I did some more radio stuff, it just kind of took on a life of its own. And to be honest with the caller, I've been blessed that Grant has given me the opportunity. I came on with him, and I think he likes me. He says he does. So I think things are going good. So that's kind of how it got started.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. You can't do a show like this if you don't like one another and don't respect one another. And no. You can't. I mean, you just can't. And I mean, Doug, I've known you for a long time now, ever since you set foot here. And again, I got to know you better when you had a weekly show with me and we were traveling everywhere. And so, you know, that respect's always been there. I'm thrilled to death because, you know, I've been doing this show by myself for a long time. I did it for a couple of years with Mike, and I've been honest with you. I don't know. But you're a great fit, man. I'll tell you, I'm so excited to get the season started and all the dialogue that you and I are going to have every day with the fans. Oh, once these games start for real, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is absolutely going to be awesome. I can't wait. Cause I listen to you quite often, actually, Grant, the Grant's rant and all that stuff. I love it. You know, people get on you, Grant's this and that. And I really like the, you know, I like New York. So I like your New York take.
There,
Grant.
You go, buddy. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk some football with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. Don't go anywhere, folks. That's coming up next.